welcome to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming to you live from the campus of West Virginia University, it's a syndicated show that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practices. And here to make those two concepts make sense to us, one of the many people who are experts over there, Karen Freeberg. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
How do you reconcile those two things, this idea of data, and then marketing, which is kind of an art? So how do you put math and art together here?
Well, that's kind of the fun part about working in this field, is that you're able to combine the data and gather insights about our audience, but then be creative.
Find some creativity, exactly. What to do with it here. All right. Well, who did you creatively bring with you today here?
Well, I'm really excited to have Mary Prevost coming in, and she's going to be talking about a favorite topic of mine on social media, how to stay social on social media with really good content. So we all know that in order to market your products and services, you have to start a Facebook page, be on Twitter, perhaps maybe even TikTok now. And we first have to kind of maybe step back before jumping on these platforms and really take a step back and looking at the benefits and looking at the content we're building to build a brand. And social media changes constantly. It's amazing to see how fast it's growing and changing. And so we're going to have Mary share her expertise with us here today on our podcast. So I'm really excited.
Well, Mary, welcome aboard here.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here. We have a mutual friend, a well-known name in the West Virginia family. She is a dear friend and a great instructor in the IMC program.
Yes, Bonnie Harris.
I wanted to get started, Mary, because I really am very appreciative of you taking the time to talk to us today about staying social on social media. The first question I have for you is, you've given the analogy that you should never build a brand on rented land. And exactly what do you mean by that?
That's a great start to the conversation, because as you mentioned in the lead-in, we hear so often from people in the community, our clients, our own businesses, when you think about how you want to market yourself, what the next step might be to raising awareness of your products or services, everyone automatically goes to, oh, social media. It's free. It's easy to use. I'm on it anyway in my personal life. So I'm just going to go ahead and build a social media platform and then build it and they will come. People will just automatically come to me because I have a social media page. And we really need to take a step back and look at what we're going to accomplish first. And it's all part of an overall strategy. And the big question here when we talk about owned and rented land, would you build a house on rented property? Well, the answer is no, you wouldn't, because it's not your land. And the landowner could take it away from you at any time. So why would you devote your energy and resources into building a house on your rented property? And this is something that is talked about a lot in the industry. And we apply it to our own marketing communications by saying, then why would you build a brand on rented land? And the rented land that we consider in the industry is social media. And it's rented because algorithms are always changing, channels are coming and going, and you ultimately cannot control the space. Think about if somebody decided to build their entire brand, build their organization on Google+. Well, Google+ no longer is in existence. And all of that work and energy and resources that you put into building your brand on Google+ has now disappeared. So when the social media platform changes or disappears altogether, you lose your work. Twitter is always changing. Facebook is constantly changing. So we need to look at those owned properties. And those are the things that we can control. And that includes our website, our blog, and then things like our print subscribers and our email distribution list. When you focus your content on these owned properties, which are the items in your marketing toolbox that you control, then you are poised to be able to deliver to your audiences in a very effective way. And then you use your rented channels like social media to push out your owned content.
That's really interesting. And I'm glad that you provided that distinction between rented and owned content. And that is a great visual for our audiences to kind of see the importance of making sure that we have assets that we're able to control and build our brand on. And as you said, these platforms change on a regular basis. And you mentioned Facebook and Instagram and a few others. And all of these platforms have algorithms.
Yes. So algorithms are so frustrating to all of us. We can't control them, but we have to find ways to work within the algorithms. So let's talk a little bit about what we mean by the algorithms. Facebook. Facebook is very popular, and it's also known in our industry for constant changes to its algorithm. In fact, we all joke that once you get used to working within the algorithm in Facebook, it changes again. So you can never seem to stay on top of the algorithm. The latest change from Facebook prioritizes close friends and the content that those close friends share. Well, how do you determine what a close friend is? It might be how much you have in contact with them or how you interact with them. But it's great when you're perusing Facebook personally on your personal time, but this is detrimental if you're managing brand Facebook page. Facebook has said that they will shut down your content, essentially. They will only make your content available to 4% of your followers unless you advertise. That's how Facebook makes its money. It's an advertising platform. So if you do the math right now and look at how many followers you have on Facebook, what is 4% of that? This probably means that you're doing a lot of work for a small amount of people to potentially see your message. You must break through the clutter on Facebook. And if you think about just looking at your own feed in your personal Facebook page, you start to see the same stuff from the same people all the time. There's a lot of clutter out there that you have to break through as a brand, and the algorithms are making it more and more difficult. But it's another reminder that Facebook isn't free. The flip side of the coin is you have to advertise to break through the clutter. Now, another popular channel is Instagram. And Instagram is owned by Facebook. So we will probably see the same thing happen on Instagram that we're seeing on Facebook. Instagram's newest algorithm is designed to ultimately maximize the time users spend on the platform. Accounts that help Instagram users stay online longer are ultimately rewarded. So Instagram uses ranking signals, including prioritizing content from accounts you interact with a lot. So if you are regularly commenting on a certain account's posts, Instagram will recognize that, and they will start to deliver those account posts to you at the top of your feed. Instagram also predicts which posts are important based on your searching behavior or your previous liking. So let's say that you have liked every cat video, you like cat events pages, you follow a lot of cat accounts. They are going to predict that you like cats, and Instagram will start feeding you more content from fellow cat lovers. So these are the types of algorithms that brands have to work within. It's not just a matter of simply putting your post up there and assuming that your target audience is going to see it. Now, LinkedIn has gotten into the game as well. And we think, okay, well, LinkedIn, very business to business, but they have algorithms that emphasize posts that trigger constructive dialogues. They don't want passive viral sharing. They don't want spam on LinkedIn. The theory out there is that they may even punish brands that post at the same time of day every day. Now, why would that be? Because you're automating it. If you automate by using one of the platforms, the third-party platforms that we love to make our jobs easier, and you get lazy about it, and you don't tailor your post when you're sending out your post to the audience, then you run the risk of LinkedIn realizing that and saying, no, we're going to deprioritize your post because it looks like you are simply automating it, and that's not part of triggering constructive dialogues.
That's fascinating. Now I can see why Instagram and Facebook is sending me lots and lots of coffee-related items. They definitely know that I love my love for coffee. Before we take a break, Mary, one question I have for you sensibly about the differences between each of these algorithms on these platforms. How do you get past these algorithms?
Yeah, well, it goes back to what we've all heard and said many, many times. Content really is essential. Content is king. You first have to create good content, create content that people want to read. It must provide value, answer questions, and keep people engaged. But then the other half of it is you must incorporate a paid media approach to your social channels. And that ensures that your content will break through all of the clutter that's on social media.
We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with Mary Priebus.
Okay, well, this will give you long enough just to pause and digest some of the mind-blowing stuff we're talking about here today. There's a place you can learn more of these kinds of cutting-edge concepts. It's West Virginia University's Online Data Marketing Communications Program, first graduate program of its kind in the country, focusing on strategic thinking, problem-solving, and informed decision-making. We're trying to do here today, get some informed decision-making data. The Data Marketing Communications Program prepares you for a career in all these exciting new fields by learning the innovative tactics from award-winning faculty like those presented here each and every week. You can learn more, DMC, for Data Marketing Communications. DMC.WVU for West Virginia University. .edu. DMC.WVU.edu. All right, let's pick it back up with our guest.
Thank you, Paul. We are back with Mary. We know that content, as you mentioned, is king, and we need to be able to start building our content on our own properties. And I wanted to ask you, how do we get started in doing that?
Great question. Well, really good content centers around the idea that you are creating value for your audience. So you've gone through, you know who your audience is, you know what they're looking for, you've taken them through the customer journey in your planning. So you have an idea of the types of content that will create value for your audience. So now we need to figure out how you can share that content most effectively. And if we start with our owned properties, let's look first at the website content that you have. It comes down to creating valuable content that is authoritative and informative. Now, it also has to be a certain length. You can't just have short content on your website, or it's not going to be discoverable through SEO. It has to be keyword optimized. So we have to apply these principles that we know about writing good content, because it needs to be able to fit within all of these SEO parameters. So our content will actually be picked up, but also will be valuable to our audience. So it starts with your website content. Then carving out space on your website for a blog is an important step to take. If a blog makes sense for your audience, it's highly recommended that you take the time to create a blog. Now, I heard somebody say blog writing is like cooking. Cooking is the easy step, and the hard part is figuring out what to cook. And I love that analogy, because we all know how to write, and we all know that a blog is important, but getting started and keeping the blog updated is even more difficult. So we know that blogging is key, and sometimes it's just getting over the hurdle. What am I going to write about? So here are a few ideas about creating this blog content. This is my favorite tip. Write about common questions that you hear from the sales team or from your help desk. If you get yourself into the mind of a content creator who is truly after creating valuable content for your audience, who better to go to, if this pertains to your organization, than your sales team or your help desk, who are answering questions from customers every day? If they are getting asked these questions, then your potential or current customers may also be typing these questions into their Google search. And when they type those questions into their Google search and you have content at the ready on your blog, which is housed on your website, you have a better chance of pulling up, and your information will help answer those questions. So that's where I recommend starting when you're trying to go through the ideation process of what content you could put on your blog. Ask your sales team, ask your help desk, see what common questions they field on a regular basis. Now, integrated marketing communications is all about using all of your platforms in an integrated way. So think about what you have going on in your organization or in the industry or among your leadership team that you could also share on your blog. For example, if you have earned media, say your CEO has been published in an industry publication or a consumer in the newspaper, you can create a blog about that article. And you can add a note that says the article originally appeared in whichever publication. Most publications allow this type of linking. And then you link to the publication website where the reader can find more information. Or you can create a completely new blog post that dives in a little deeper into the subject matter that perhaps was not covered in the article. How many times have we heard from people who have been interviewed, they'll say, wow, I provided a lot of good content, and they had to distill it down into one quote, and that's all that appeared in the write-up. You can take all of that great content that your subject matter expert prepared for this media interview and create an entire blog post out of it. And then also mention, we also were part of an article that originally appeared in XYZ. And again, link to that publication website. You can also invite guest bloggers or interviews from influencers. You don't have to take on the blog writing all on your own. Perhaps there are other subject matter experts within your organization who could serve as guest bloggers. Or are there influencers within the industry who you could interview yourself or have them come on and write a blog for you? Now, the benefit of this is chances are those influencers or those guest bloggers will also promote it within their own blogs. So that opens you up to a completely new audience. And then finally, let's touch a little on email content. So again, we've talked about your own properties, which are website content, blog content, and now let's talk about email content. So let's face it, we are lazy consumers. If you're like me, you wait for the news and information to come to you. I subscribe to newspapers, digital versions of magazines, yet do I actively go out and find my news and information? Well, sometimes yes, but I do like when the New York Times sends me an email every morning and every night to tell me what I missed in the day. And then I'll read that email and I'll click through to read the bigger story. And it's that push notification, that email that I value to remind me that there's something I want to read. We're lazy. I admit I'm a lazy consumer, but when we're moving at the speed of light, we need to remember that email can be an important tool for us to use to reach our audiences. Now, the key is making sure that we are not spamming them.
No, this is great, Mary. I think that these are really great insights, and I'm really glad that you brought up email, just because when people think of social, they don't necessarily think of email marketing as a tied component to their overall content marketing strategy, which is really refreshing to hear. And I wanted to get your insights on, based on what you've discussed on content marketing, how do we basically get to share this content on social? And what are some of the contributions that we need to look for and keep in mind to have social media success?
Yes. Point of using your own properties effectively, like we just said, the website content, the blog content, and the email content, is you are creating a valuable, vast amount of content right there. But then you can share on your social channels. So you can share on your Facebook page the same information you put on your blog. You can push out your blog content to your Twitter followers. You can even create imagery around an earned media opportunity that you had and remind people of it on Instagram. You can use all of your social channels effectively, but the key is you've built it up on your website, in your blog, and through your email content, because that's the information that you own. That is what you have control over. And ultimately, you want to get your social media audiences clicking through to the link that goes back to the content on your website.
Really great information. Influencers, can you talk a little bit about how this is an important component of social media strategies?
Yes. Influencers are 92% of consumers trust recommendations from family and friends over brands. So that shows you the power of influencers. Word of mouth happens on social media. And another key stat for you, people are 16 times more likely to read a post from a friend more than they are a brand. So ultimately, people trust people over brands. By tapping into the influencers in your industries or the influencers related to your organizations or the influencers that your audience trusts, you can maximize your messages even more. But the key is you must look at influencers as collaborators. They are not simply marketing tools. They are collaborators to help you achieve your communications objectives. And of course, micro influencers, there is a difference between influencers. There are macro level influencers and there are micro level influencers. And micro level influencers who have a smaller amount of followers, but they have probably more reach because their audiences are more engaged with them. They are all the rage because they're normal, everyday people and they're known for their knowledge about something particular. It's not about the money for them. They're not getting Kim Kardashian money when they share something with their audiences. Instead, it's about whether they deem you a fit with their brand. So it's a fantastic strategy to target influencers and really seek the right types of influencers that will make a difference with your particular audience. When I look at my own habits, I follow certain influencers on social media, and I'm in the business. I know the effect the influencers have, yet there's one particular Instagrammer who I follow, and I will click through to see what she is sharing because I trust her completely. It's as though we are best friends on social media, and she has no idea who I am, but I trust what she is selling me, essentially. And would I trust it if it was the brand selling me that in an Instagram post? No, but I trust her recommendations. I trust her involvement with the product or the service, whatever she's talking about. And I trust her over the company. So that's the power of influencers.
Wow, there's a lot of takeaways here, Mary, and I really greatly appreciate you taking the time to share with us your great expertise. We only have a minute left, but here's my last question. How can they get in touch with you?
Yes, so I am on LinkedIn. It's Mary J. Prevost is my handle, same on Twitter. And my website is prevopartners.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Mary, for taking the time to speak with us here on the WVU podcast. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WVU Marketing Communications Today, brought to you live from West Virginia University, a biweekly program that sits at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and marketing practice. Only on the Funnel Radio Network, for at-work listeners like you.